Of your power is mighty. The Shabbaton of our Abba, we come to delight in you, Almighty Yah. Sit down at the table of our Abba. You will feed us with those things that are necessary for us to continue the battle and to walk this journey. It's one that is intensifying. Yet we have the assurance, your immutability. For even in the midst of the most precarious circumstance, we have the assurance of our Abba. You will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the comfort of your spoken, written covenant with Israel. We may falter. We have fallen. But it is certain that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so in the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel, the hope of the house of Israel, one house, we barak you today. We bless you on the Shabbaton of our precious Abba, your healing power, your sustaining power. Your cleansing virtue filled this fire today. Yahshua's mighty name. And the people cried hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, Shalom Aleichem. May Yah enrich you today. Yahweh blesses you. You may be seated.
Hallelujah. And certainly may Yah enriches you today. His purpose. We serve in the house of Israel, and his purpose is that we do all things to please him. And everything that we do, it is to esteem, to exalt him, and there will be great pleasure in the remnant, the seed that he has set aside to please him. There's one thing in this generation, there's a mindset that has no pure ahava for Almighty Yah. It's not a people that delight in truth. Because there's one thing that's certain that truth will do, it identify every kind of vile, sadistic, evil thing in you. And it will make you free that you can truly worship and bless Almighty Yah. This is a generation that is bound because it's given unto every kind of fictitious fairy tale. In every kind of scholarly approach, yet it never produces the very intimacy with them and Almighty Yahweh. He's going to have a small remnant, an exceedingly small remnant, and they will worship and serve Almighty Yahweh. Are there any men today, as I propose this question to you? We use the expression, a good man. Are there any good today? Are there any good? Now, before you answer the question, because I know how we answer things, we're very ignorant people. We think we know, and we literally do not know. And in order for us to answer that question, we must go back to the Bereshit. We must find it in the Tanakh, in the Torah of Almighty Yah. I know how we have been taught. We all have been raised in a certain religious way, but it's wrong. It is one thing that your tongue has done magnificently. Yahweh made a splendid thing, as Elder Wyman said to us, that he had the intimacy between him and Almighty Yah. And so the powers that be, they will do all they can to distort and to destroy the significance of what Yahweh has done. And the works of Yah was orchestrated through man that he ordained for this ram, that he may fulfill Yahweh's purpose, that this whole earth and his own creation will be subdued unto him. But the powers that be, Jotan, he has seen the excellence of Yahweh's work. So he has done all he could to misconstrue what Yahweh says. And we allow our carnal mind to try to interpret Scripture. It doesn't work that way. It must be revealed by the Ruah of Almighty Yah. It will never come by some intellectual proudness or some intellectual strength. It will come by the true witness of our Abba. We can only find that in Yahshua the Lamb. I want to lay the premises of this teaching today. I wanted to start early because I will complete this. Are there any good men, any men that are tava, a phob? Are there any good men today? Are our minds so seared? Are we so confused? Are we that shallow we don't even know what Scripture says? In order for me to answer that, I must go to the book. It cannot be answered according to my own accords or what I perceive as being good. And if I ask you all the question to define that, not any of you all basically could define the word goods. So we have been indoctrinated, and there are things that have been ingrained in us without us thoroughly understanding the legitimacy of what actually is being spoken. So we don't know. And because of our pride and the arrogance of this rebellious witchcraft, adulterous generation, it is one that stiffens their neck with their pride. You cannot teach them anything today. Yah is only going to teach the house of Israel. Are there any good men or good daughters of Zion? Are there any things today? Are there anything today that is good? And in order for us to understand that, we must begin at the beginning. But I want to begin with a profound statement that Shaul said unto Israel. As he wrote unto Titus, he made a profound statement. He warned them not to give heed unto Jewish fables or Yadim fables, or commandments of men which turn one from the truth, from the Torah. Do not give heed to these fables of Yadim, or what we call Jewish. Now I know when one used that expression that everyone would say that they are anti-Semitic, but everything that say that they are of the house of Israel, they are not of the house of Israel. So Yah says to us, do not give heed, do not allow your mind to be taken by these little tingulating type of stories or fables, or the commandments of men that turn one away from the power, the revelation of the Torah or truth. That is in Titus 1:14 and 15. But this is what I want to read before I lay the foundation. Are there any good men? Are there any good wives? Or are there any good brothers? Are there any good sisters? I use that expression. I prefer using the word serve because I understand the very intimacy of the meaning of that word. But for the expedience of us today, I will use that expression. Are there anyone that is good today? Is there anyone that is good? Now, I know how our minds are trying to find the answer. You can't find it within the cortex or within the sphere of your mind. It has to be by the Spirit of Yah, and every word that He speaks unto us, it is a spiritual truth. Every word. He says in verse 15 of Titus 1, he says to the pure, those that are free from corrupt desire, those that do not have the desire to sin and a willingness to denounce the instructions of Almighty Yah. To the pure, all things are pure. There is no corruption in what Yahweh speaks to the pure. They understand the beauty of it. They understand the power and the purpose of it. They understand what it does in the inward parts and what it produces. So to the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled, a sinful, corrupt nature, one that is arrogant and haughty, and full of their self-indulgence, of their own corrupt pride of sin. That's what we're dealing with this hour, this generation. We're dealing with a defiled mentality. We're dealing with a corrupt, arrogant, haughty, sinful, hubris mentality today. But to those that are defiled and those that are unbelieving, those that have no trust, we have a generation today that has no trust in anyone. They cannot trust one another because they are defiled, because they are sinful, they are wicked, they are corrupt. To those that are defiled and unbelieving, he says, even their mind, their understanding is so corrupt. It is so juvenile. It is so immature. It is such an immature understanding, a babyish understanding. Even their mind and even their conscience, no ability to discern the body of HaMashiach. No understanding of what is the actual body of HaMashiach. Even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They are contaminated. So when you find one that is unbelieving, one that trusts no one, but their own defiled, sinful, wicked conscience, then you find one that is not pure. But the one that is pure has the mind of Yahshua. And that mind pleases Yahweh in everything that it does. This is a defiled, wicked, sinful generation of people. They trust no one. They don't even trust Yah. There's nothing about Yahweh they trust. It is a superficial generation. It is full of falsehoods and fictitious little storylines to appease their damnable, corrupt mentality, their conscience that is so seared, and the unbelieving or the unbelief in them, no trust in nothing that Yah says to them. So there is nothing pure today. They cannot see nor can they discern what is of Yahweh. They don't know what comes from Yahweh. And they cannot honor that which is of Almighty Yahweh. They have no honor in them at all. Are there any tough? Are there any good brothers? Are there any good sisters? Is there anyone today that is good? Does the scripture teach that they are not? Or does it show us the pattern, the example, the definition of what is tough? Do you truly understand what tav is? Do you understand what the meaning is? We are people that hear, but we do not hear. We are people that think we comprehend, but we do not comprehend what Yahweh is saying. We are an ignorant, sottish generation of stupidity. He is not raising up some child puberty mentality among men to instruct the people of Yah. They must be men that are validated. And they must be warriors and they must be strong. They cannot be coward, dice men. And they will deal with every circumstance that arise in the midst of the camp. Regardless of what it is, regardless how the situation seems, a warrior will deal with every one of those circumstances. Are there any tough today? Do we find good brothers? Are there good sisters? Is there anyone good today? I want to be God in Scripture. And first of all, I want to give you the examples of what Scripture says. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with what Scripture says. And if we're going to define anything, it must be according to Scripture. It cannot be from some definition of David Roberts of your own corrupt mentality. And because your mentality is corrupt, your mind, your conscience cannot discern. You cannot discern which is tav or evil, what is pure and what is defiled. You can't do it. And the generation as a whole cannot do it. They don't know. We have not been nurtured nor trained to do that. Because we have walked contrary to what Scripture teaches. And we simply do not know.
So let us begin in the Odyssey of Scripture and see what Scripture says. If it's right, and Scripture will point out whether they are men, women, daughters of Zion, people that are that way. I would have begun in Tehillim, Psalms 37:23. I shall finish this message today. You bind that corrupt spirit of yours, that loathsome, that spirit of poverty that you may hear. And David said in Tehillim 37:23, and I challenge you all to write the Scriptures down, to go back and study them with the mind of Hamashiach. And show me if this man speaks to us today where he has erred in the way, where he has sinned to lead us in an error path that lead us away from the truth. David said, and he spoke with the love of Yah. He did not speak out of his own conscience, but he spoke out of the mind of Almighty Yahweh. And every word that is in Scripture, it is the pure word of Yah, and it is the mind of Yahweh that speaks. He says in Tehillim 37:23, he says, the steps, the order, the way, the purpose of a tough, a good man. Now the steps, the direction of a good man, they are commanded, they are ordered, they are instituted, they were established, and they are prepared by Almighty Yahweh. Now, he established this from the beginning. With a man that is tough, his order, his direction, the steps that he takes, they're ordained by Almighty Yah, has nothing to do with the man or some kind of self-righteousness. It has to do with what Yah has determined, what is tough and what is right before him. So we must understand that the steps of a tough man, they are ordered, they are declared, they are established by Almighty Yahweh. And he delights that man. He takes great pleasure. That person takes great delight. There is a euphoric about that one. They delight in the ways of Almighty Yahweh. Well, what is the way of Yahweh? What is his way? It is the way of truth. It is the way of Torah. How much you say, I am the truth. So that is the way. A man delights in the instructions, the commands of Almighty Yahweh. The steps of a tough man, a good man. I'll define what good is at the end of this message. And I'll define what tough is as well. It will totally shock you because you don't know. So the steps of this tough man, Yahweh orders his steps. And unless there are men that fit this description today, we are blind guides leading the blind. We are a pack of dumb dogs, not knowing which direction to take. We have no insight of the path or the way of Almighty Yahweh. When a man is a tough man, and Yahweh declares that, and there are fruit that will express the tough of Almighty Yahweh in that one. His steps are always ordained by Yah. His direction is always established by Yahweh. His insight is always established by Yahweh. His purpose is always established by Almighty Yah. The steps of a tough man, they are ordered by Almighty Yahweh. And when a man is walking in the tongue of Yah, his path is ordered. He will speak what Yahweh commands him by revelation of Scripture. I want to say to you all, if Yahweh has to send a Melech or a host of Melechim to speak to you, then the Son HaMashiach has not spoken unto you. The power of the living word has no substance in you at all. You are without faith in your little faith. I believe what he says in the book. Hallelujah. He doesn't need to speak to me audibly, because he speaks to me audibly every day by the power of the living truth. So the steps of a tough man, they're ordered by Almighty Yahweh. Listen to what David declares in Psalms 112, verse 4. His character, as Yah deals with the character of what we call of what we denounce as a tough man. It says in Tehillim 1:12, verse 4, to the tzaddikah, to the righteous, to the just, there arise light in the darkness. But a man is a just man or a tzaddikah man. In the midst of this dark hour, there shall arise out of that man the light, the promise, and the tekvah, the hope of Yeshua HaMashiach. He says he is, first of all, he is kind. He is a friendly man. He is one that loves the body. He loves the fellowship, the brotherhood, the sisterhood. He says he is full of compassion to the tzaddikah. Not this phonyism that we call compassion. Not this defiled thing that we call love or compassion. That it dissimulates, it divides, it separates. That is not the compassion of Yahweh. The compassion of Yahweh, even in your damnable sins, He never forsook you. And for you to think that that is a sign of strength to divide, it is a sure sign of the corruption of your wickedness and your hubris pride for mine. It is not Yahweh. Hallelujah. When your big toe hurt, you don't separate your foot from your body or disjoint it, do you? You bring the healing to it. He says, this is the sure sign of a tough man. Verse 5, a good man. Now, I'm defining things by Scripture. A good man shows favor. Hana. He shows a favor. And he lends. And he will guide his affairs with discretion of mizpah. He will guide his path with the judgment of Yahweh, because all the ways of Yahweh are the ways of judgment. When a man is walking in the way of Yah, he is constantly judging himself. He is constantly purging and cleansing himself. And so when a man has the tav of Yahweh in him, he lends. He gives of himself, not this false, superficial lending or giving. Because when a man does it that way, he wants everyone to acknowledge what he is doing. He identifies himself and his speech is about him and all about him. It's what I've done, who I am, what I am. It's what Yahweh is. It has nothing to do with this identity, because the tav of Yahweh is not based upon what I am or who you are. It's based upon what Yah has put there. Did he make the earth? Did he make the earth? Was it good? Did he make man? Was he good? Can he lie? He cannot lie. When he finished his work, he saw that it was all what? Bad or good? It was good. It was tough. You must understand what he means when he says it was tough. And so this defiled mentality today, it is corrupt. It's a sinful mentality. Because it judges after the seeing of the eye. And the hearing of the ear. It doesn't discern the inward parts of one. That is why the Ruah of Yah has come, that we may discern. We may know without a shadow of a doubt. It is not because of your much conversation with one that brings about the judgment. It is the Ruah of Yahweh that brings judgment. And your judgment is based upon the hearing and the seeing. It is vile. It is polluted. It is a defiled judgment. It is not of Almighty Yahweh. Hallelujah. So a tough man, he shows favor. He shows this kindness. He shows this love toward everyone. And everyone senses that kind of kindness. We think that kindness is something that is always sugar-coated. When he has the desert with the rod, that is still kindness. That is not a ruah of meekness. It is his kind tenderness and his love for his son. For what? To keep your sire in the way. To keep in the path that his constitution that he has imparted into him, that he may walk in that. It is not uncompassionate because she corrects him. It is not uncompassionate or kind because he says, you cannot have that. If he did not do that, he would not have that kind of compassion or concern or the ahava of Yahweh. Yahweh leads a tough man. And he causes his love to be kind. He lends. He has favor and he shows favor. He has the ability to discern because Mishpah, the judgment of Yah, fills his love. And he judges himself constantly that he may walk in the path, in the ways of Almighty Yahweh. This is the character. And Yah shows us the character of a man that he calls a top man or a good man. He says in chapter 12, verse 2 of Mishlei, Proverbs, I'm going to take us in a sequential order so that you won't miss anything today. You that are listening by the live stream, I want you to please write the verses down and go back and challenge Yah and see if he's wrong in what he says. Mishlei 12:2, Solomon said, a good man. Does he say a rough or an evil man? Or does he say a good man? Is that what the expressive superlative is? A good? Good. A good man obtains favor of Yahweh. When a man has the favor of Yahweh, you will see the fruit of the power of that in the man's life. The favor of Yahweh is not because a man has a home that is splendid. That's not the favor of Yah. Because he has a fleet of cars, that's the favor of the world. That's not the favor of Yah. The favor of Yah is the excellent ruah of the man. Not because of his much talk, a fool is heard for his much word, but a wise, a benign man is heard because he's quiet. He has quiet confidence. Because he knows he has favor of Almighty Yahweh. And the things that have been spoken and revealed unto him, he knew that they have not come. He knows that they have not come by the hand or the instruction of man. The word have been sown by the power of the established format of Yah, his order. Yes. And yet the man has received it, and the Ruah brings life and power unto that. Unto the word. The word must become alive in us. Not this damnable rhetoric these men have today. They're shallow, they're superficial. Hallelujah. A man's gift will make room for himself. He doesn't have to say anything. What a man think he has a gift, he's a damnable lying dog. He has nothing. What a man has a gift, it will make room. You don't have to express the gift you have. It will make room for itself. It will show itself. What a man tells you, I got the gift, he's a liar. He is a pervert. He has nothing at all. The gift of Yah will make room for itself. It will be revealed. Why? Because every tov, every good, and every perfect gift comes from above, from Yah, do they not? So if Yah has imparted the perfect gift or the good gift in you, it will make room for itself. You don't need no self-promotion. You don't need one to promote you. Yah will do that. And this is a vile generation thinking they have something and they possess nothing. They don't have anything. And I find this, I say it unapologetically, I find it more so among what I call the white boys and the Caucasians, among any people that I have contact with. And I will not apologize for that. No, I will deal with the white boy today. I'm not dealing with the colored boy or the Negro boy. I'm dealing with the white boy. And such arrogance and such haughtiness, I've never found or met a species of people that think that their arrogance and their humorous mentality. If you're a white boy, you're offended today. If you're a true seed of Israel, you're a Hebrew, this will not offend you. And I find that every Caucasian that comes, they go to instruct me, to hell with every white boy. You understand that? I'm enjoying with the Hebrew Israelites. I have a brother there in Texas. His skin is quite as yours, but he is my Hebrew Israelite brother. He called me other night, and I preached to him just like I'm preaching to you. And he said, Maria, my wife, tell Pastor Roberts, you're the only man that speaks to me this way and set me in order. Because his path was wrong. It was none of your way. He was going down an errant path. And I'm not afraid to say it. There's one thing about this Caucasian mindset I find. It is arrogant. It is hubris. And it thinks it's going to always come and instruct to hell with every white man. I stand for the house of Israel and the seed of Yaakov. That's who I stand with. And my brothers and my true sisters come in every variation of colors and shades. But a white boy will be a white boy. His arrogance, his hubris mentality. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to stop. I had, between Thursday night and Friday, about 6-7 calls. And the ones that were of color, they were very gentle. They were very humble. Their conversations, when they called Pastor Robert. And every Caucasian that I dealt with on this past week, they were arrogant. I had a boy that was 18 years old. Deacon Billy, Brother Charles, were in my office. And the first thing he did, he called with questions. And so I said to him, can you convey to me what you truly believe on that? And so he told me, I said, then what is the issue? No problem. It's settled. Well, I want to know what you believe. I said, if I told you what I believe, it's going to create a divide between you and me, isn't it? Well, I want to know if you have any assemblies out here. If I told you that and your attitude, you're going to go and create some kind of confusion or some divide with the brothers, aren't you? I said, what you need to do is listen to the messages on the website. And here what this preacher said. You know what he did? Can I tell you? He hanged the telephone up, bam, slammed it down on me. A man called me, a brother of color called me from Florida. He said, Pastor Roberts, very gentle, very kind. Who do I make the checks out to? I said, you make them out to Yahweh's congregation. You make them out to this congregation. I had a Hebrew brother that his skin is creamy as cream. He called me from Dallas, Texas, and he began to make statements. I began to reprove him and show him that is none of Almighty Yah. There is no confidence in Yah you have. He put his wife on the speaker telephone and said, wife of Pastor Roberts, what he's saying, it is for me, it is the truth. And he straightens me out, and that's why I love you, my brother. And I find this Caucasian mindset, this white boy mentality, no one that has labored among you, and I've never dealt with that with the men of color. I watched Sister Yalia's husband come here, a man that was that I reproved before all the brothers. And I did it viciously. The man humbled himself and he bowed down. And he came to my office for 2 hours. And every Caucasian that I've allowed to come here, they will always come to tell me what you need to do here. To hell with every white boy. Now say it like that. You're either son of Yah or you're a fool on your way to hell. And I won't apologize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every last one of them is not one that has come, that has not tried to tell me what I'm doing wrong, tried to set something in order, and yet they're not willing to come and labor among you. I've never, with all the people of color that have come here, I've never had that. I really haven't. They're very fearful. They're very guarding. I want to say this as a young kid, I would see the most derelict and the most rejected Caucasians come to our communities, the people of color. And I would watch the people bring them in because the people of color wanted to show them that they were people of love, even though they were sinners and wicked. And I watched them, they would bring them into their homes, into their communities, and they would show them a great reverence, a great kindness. I watched that. They will open their hearts, and every one of you people, Negroes, black African Americans, in some form you've experienced that. And I will watch them open their doors, and I will watch them bring them to health, whereby their own community rejected them. And the same people of color could not go to the Caucasian community. They would not receive them back in the 60s or nothing like that. Even in the 70s. I saw that in the 60s, I saw it in the 70s, and I saw it in the 80s. I saw those kinds of attributes among the people that had nothing. And even though they had nothing, they would bring them in, feed them, and care for them. I watched the same Caucasian rise up in his hubris, arrogance, and turn like a vicious wolf against those that supported and tried to strengthen them. Whereby even those of his community he identified with rejected him. He would gain his strength and he would cast them away like they were dogs. And I see this among this white, arrogant mentality. And no one wants to touch it because they think if you say it, you're prejudiced. No, I'm dealing with the realities. Just like I deal with the black boys. I'm not dealing with the black boys. I'm dealing with the white boys today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can sit here and thought you don't have to receive what I say. It makes no difference at all because you're a white boy. Period. When a man is free from that kind of damnable spirit, he is a true Israelite indeed. And so I will not let a white boy come here and instruct me that have not labored and have not toiled, has not suffered the afflictions. I will not let him do that. Neither will I let one of color do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The steps of a tough man. This is a religious, hoarse generation.
It doesn't want to deal with the realities of what's out there, but I do. I'm going to do that, Toda. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. And every Caucasian that comes, every last one of them, their judgments are so skewed and wicked. Their condemnation. It's always that way. I'm telling the truth. I've been here long enough to see it. They come here wanting to instruct me, tell me what I... To hell with them. I will not let them do it. And I watch the men of color come here. I watch their humbleness and their meekness, their submissiveness. I watch Sister Yolia's ex-husband as I reprove this man, as I rebuke him. I watch the man just drop his shoulders and just become very humble, a very athletic man, a very strong man. He did not go to my brothers to try to create some kind of division. He went to them for counsel, Brother Dale and Elder Martin. He went to men like that to talk to them. I know Pastor Roberts is right. I know what I need to do. I understand that. What he did was right. And those brothers strengthened what was said to him. But I find it in my Caucasian friends, an arrogance, a hubris. Unless Yahweh ripped that damn little trash out and they're going to die in their wickedness. Oh, I deal with the characteristics of people of color. I'm dealing with the ones that are Caucasians today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a tough man, a good man. He shows or he obtained favor of Yah. That's what he does. He obtained favor of Almighty Yahweh. But a man of wicked device, he will be condemned. He's a guilty man. When a man is a wicked man, I don't care what is said to the pure, all things are pure. I don't give a damn about flesh that is dark skin. I care about Yisrael. And to hell with that creamy white skin. I care about Yisrael. And if a white boy is offended because he is evil, he's sadistic, and he is trying to protect the white flesh or the flesh of color, I protect the house of Yisrael whereby the true Yisraelites dwell. And I do not bear the sword of Yah in vain. So when a man is a tough man, Yah shows him favor. What favor? He shows him what is needed in his life. He corrects him. He hears what is necessary for his life that it may be transformed. But a man of wicked devices will be condemned. He is guilty about everything. I don't care what you say, he's a guilty man. I don't care what kind of process or procedures you follow. You will find that man guilty in the processes that are already established. You will find him guilty in the Torah of Almighty Yah, his mitzvah, because he's a self-righteous man, but a good man, a tough man. He has the favor of Almighty Yah. And you see it in his character. You see it in his astuteness, his mindset, his ability. You will see that. But not a wicked man. He is a condemned man. His mind is condemned. Everything he sees is condemned because he is condemned. His mind is impure. It is seared, so he cannot see the light of anything at all. He cannot see the light. When a man's mind is darkened and overtaken by the powers of hell, they cannot see the light. Yahweh is an illusional thing to them. They don't have the Ruah of Almighty Yah. They have not the foresight of Yah. They have not the spirit. They have their own spirit. And I'm going to deal with every circumstance that Yah allows me and he permits to come in this bayat. I will deal with it faithfully. And I will not be apologetic. I'm not a fearful man. I don't care about your monies because you can't give anything to cause me to alter the way of Almighty Yah. I don't want your money. Hallelujah. I don't care about your money. You have nothing to give. Why? Because I know who has given it all. Yah has. And he is my sustainer here. It's not the dollar bills, my brothers. Yahweh sustains. Hallelujah. Why? Because he said a good man obtains favor of Almighty Yahweh. He obtains the confidence of Yah. And Yah will share with him his heart warmth. And the only way he's going to share the warmth of his love is in Yahshua. He knows that if a man loves him, he will spend the time studying the scripture. And he will give himself over unto scripture, not listen to some kind of twisted voice that talks to you.
Yahweh is not talking to you in some kind of voice. He's speaking by Yahshua HaMashiach. And when Yahshua said, it is finished, the works are finished, he said, now I've done my works. And I leave it into the hands of the Shulishims, the Nabis, the proclaimers, the Roth, the pastors, and the teachers, the Bezors, to declare the power of this living Abba. That's what he did. And he is not speaking from the Shemaya. When he speaks again, then that sound of the trumpet, then everyone is going to rise up, the dead first, and we that are alive will remain shall be caught up to meet him. Well, he spoke to Shaul. I tell you, my friend, you're not a Shaul. He has not sent you to no one. He has sent the Ruah to you. And a matter of Yah to instruct you, so you're not a Shaul. Hallelujah. You are not a Philip. Hallelujah. He has spoken to us in an excellent way by his son, Yahshua. He says, if you can't believe that, if I spoke to you out of the Shema, you will not hear me. And so we have this religious spirit today. That's all is his church attitude, that he's always talking. If Yah talks to a man, there will be such a fear of reverence in that man's heart that he will tremble at his feet. And these dogs that say that Yah talks to them, that he sends Melekim, Malak to talk to him, they're lying dogs. I don't care who they are. He speaks to me by the power of the pages. And he speaks and he calls that word to burn down in the inward parts. And I draw from the living well. I draw from that well of Almighty Yah. When Yah speaks, it is a terrible thing when he speaks. These men are full of wickedness and corruption. A good man, he obtains favor. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children. What riches and money? No, he leaves a constitution to his house, a strength. Something that is viable. He leaves them an inheritance. He leaves them a strength, a character. He leaves a source, that's what a good man does, to his children. Mishlei 13:22, a good man. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the tzaddikah. So the wealth of the wicked man is laid up for those that are righteous, the tzaddikah. A good man, he leaves an inheritance to his generations. There are families that they have walked in certain truths. And you see that from one generation to one generation. You see the plethora of wealth. You see that power of their sons and their grandchildren sustained in a wicked and a corrupt world. You see their minds developed by the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. A wicked man goes and he applies his hands to gain some kind of financial or physical wealth. Wealth and health come from Almighty Yahweh. It doesn't come by the labor of a man's hand. Even when Yaakov and his dad-in-law tried to rob him, Yahweh made the provision. It was not by his workings, but it was by the workings of Almighty Yah. So that's what a good man leaves. He leaves an inheritance for his children. And his sons pass it on to their children and their children to their children. That you see a lineage of great strength and power that resonate out of that loins of that man. That's what a good man leaves. A wicked man leaves a lineage of death. Whorish daughters and sons and wicked children. Bastards. Misfits and dysfunctionality. But a man of Yah, he leaves a strength. He leaves an inheritance. But a man that is wicked, he leaves all kinds of unclean things developed in that literature, that line. I know you don't have to hear it, but that's already still the truth. We don't want to hear what Yah says, because the Ruach of Yah always judges the intent and what is in us. We want something that would placate us and make us feel good in your white skin or your black skin. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you what it's going to take to please Yah. And I will correct a white man like I will a black man. I will correct the Hebrew. I don't care who he is. Hallelujah. We don't want to deal with issues because there's something deep in the inner core of your heart you don't want to deal with. But the whole issue is from your own heart. You that are evil, that's all you bring out, evil things. So a good man, he leaves an inheritance. an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the wicked, the city, is laid up for the Sadiqah. The reason we have the kind of spirit we have today, brothers and sisters, turn quickly to Mishlei 14 and 14, Proverbs, next book over. It says this, when a man backslides, listen to me, brothers and sisters, no man is going to come here. I don't care how faithful a man has been. Once you sow the seed of unfaithfulness, you're an unfaithful man. I don't care how many years a man has been married to his wife, 40 years. And he can go out one time and commit an adulterous affair. He's unfaithful. And I don't care what he says, the scar of that will always be there. I don't care what deeds he does, how he tries to rectify that. That action will always be there. I said to Deacon Benny, I don't care what we did when we were out there. I don't care what we did before we come to the fullness of the power of the knowledge of Yahweh. I don't care what our sins were. We are not condemned in those actions. But if we commit something now as we come to the knowledge of this profound truth, it will be an irreversible thing that will be applied to our lives, and we will never come from under the weight of that. This is a backsliding generation. It's an unfaithful generation. I said to Deacon Miller one day, I love my wife, and I know how I've lived with her all these years. And for her to go out and to bring a mistrust of our relationship, I love her, but I could not bear with her. Could I forgive her? Well, certainly I could. But to live with her, I could not do that, because I know that it's not my intentions to do that. I could not live with her. I could not walk with her. That is just the truth. I will not. There will be no confidence there. That the love, if it begins, it has to be restored. And these fruitful, wicked people think that they have something. That they're little deeds. I don't care how she cooks. I don't care how she cleans the house. But that issue, Yahweh knows that Yisrael is a whore. She has committed whoredom. It's only by His mercies. Hallelujah. He destroyed many because of their wickedness and their sins. Listen to this quickly. He says in Mishlei 14:14, the backslider in lev, in heart, shall be filled with his own ways. And it says here, does it say an evil man or a good man? A good man shall be what? He shall be what? He shall be satisfied. He shall be complete. He shall be thoroughly furnished from where? From who? Because he has the living oracles of Yah in him. A backslider, he is always satisfied. With his own, he will be filled with his own fruit, but a tough man. So even in the verses I've read, does it denote that there is some kind of man that is good? It says a good man will be satisfied, shall satisfy himself from within. Listen to this, I want you to hear it. Even in the 12th chapter of Mishlei 12:14, it says a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. When a man has perfect fruit, he will be satisfied with that fruit. And that is how a good man is satisfied from within. He satisfies himself. He knows what Yah has done, and he takes great delight in what Yah has done, and he is satisfied with what Yah has done. And so a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the rewards of a man's hands shall he or be given back to him. What a man does from the fruit of his life, his tremendous labor, it will be given back to him and others will see it. He doesn't have to talk about it. It will be given back. If a man has tremendous fruit inside what he does, he just does it. He doesn't talk about it. He does it because he satisfies himself. He does not explain to no one. Because his gift, because the beauty of that gift will make room. And men will see the beauty of that gift in him. You find someone that talks, runs his mouth. It is a foolish man. For it is the zeal of the simple, the foolish man, that eats him up. It's his ignorance, his envy, his jealousy. You know, zeal is more than what we think it is. I don't want to detour, as Evangelist Horn would say. I'm going to preach that on Wednesday. The zeal of the simple. And I will show you things in Scripture. Hallelujah. You're just blessed Yah for His Word. And a man that doesn't waste his time foolishly. Hallelujah. He doesn't sit and waste his time idly. And come to poverty whereby he cannot feed you anything but some superficial trash. You got here, your belly's empty. Man is satisfied from within. A good man. Good man has something in him. Hallelujah. You don't have to tell him what he has in him. Because he's satisfied. He's satisfied with the little minuscule things. He's satisfied with what Yah speaks, that the simple word to him, he's satisfied. His love is fat. He's rich with the fatness of Almighty Yahweh. It's either that Yah in these expressions, he denotes a good man, or there's a total lie in everything I've read so far. You don't have the Apocrypha, but I want you to write it down in case you have it at home. It says in Shirach, the wisdom of Shirach, it says in Shirach 12:6. I want you to hear this. It says, for the Most High also now, I know what people say, but it says here in the Apocrypha, for the Most High also hates sinners and will inflict punishment upon the wicked. Now, he hates sinners. He hates the wicked. He's angry with the wicked. He hates sinners and he will inflict punishment upon the wicked. He says, and Yah, he gives to the good man. But do not help the sinner in his corrupt, wicked ways. Yahweh, when a man is tough, he gives to him. He gives to him fruitfulness. His life is fruitful. Even in his quietness, he's fruitful. When a man talks, he's not a fruitful man. When you hear someone talking all the time, they are not fruitful at all. As I recall, as a young child, I would watch even my uncles as my grandmother would feed them. They were quiet men. And they would sit there. My grandmother was quiet. They were men. She did not deal with them like boys. And there's one thing about a wise man. He perceives, he discerns, he understands many things. And he's quiet. When you have one that runs their mouths vociferously, there's something missing spiritually and mentally in that one. There's a twisted, torted mentality. There are places, Hamashiach, when he did not say anything, he just laughed. There are places that Shaul, when he did not open his mouth, Timotheus and Philip Barnabas, they did not open their mouths at all. But when you find a man is given too much talk, a fool think he is heard because he talks and he talks longer. But a wise man is heard because he's quiet. A good man, a tough man is heard because of the fruit and the power that resonates out of him. And men see that and they take great delight in it. He satisfies himself. I don't need no accolades. Brother wrote me down there from Florida. He said, you're a great man. He said that to me. I said, I'm not a great man. The word of Yahweh is great. I'm a vessel that he uses. There's nothing great about me, nor about you. But what he says is great. And I take great delight in the greatness of what he says. And I satisfy myself with the greatness of what he speaks with. You would have a great man among you, let him be the servant. You find someone great, let him serve. Let him serve. You want to be great, sister, serve someone. Hallelujah. It doesn't take much for someone to serve you. Only thing I have to do is ask a brother to do something for me and they'll do it. But I'd rather do it for Deacon Betty or Deacon Horn. I'd rather do something for Brother Dale. I'd rather make sure that everything is taken care of for him. Hallelujah. So good man, Yah gives to the good man. But do not help the sinner. When a man has the true power and the might of Hamashiach, I will show you what will happen. It says in Matthew 7:17. You turn there, and that should be, in most translations, some of you all have what we call the red letter edition, Matthew 7:17. Are those words there, Matthew 7:17, written in red? You sure they are? So Hamashiach speaks this, right? Is that so? It says here in Matthew 7:17, he says, even so every good tree. Now, what does the tree represent? David tells us that we in Psalms 1 that we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Is he talking about Israel? Yes. Are we not the trees of Yah? Yes. Is that not what that metaphor is? Yes. Every good tree will bring forth good fruits, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. You see the evilness of these evil trees, evil men. They're evil and they think that they are good because they talk. That doesn't make them good because they give or bring an offering.
He said, every good tree will bring forth good fruits. You can dine from that fruit of a good tree. These evil men today, you detest their presence. There's nothing that comes forth out of them that brings about any kind of satisfaction. I don't want to be around an arrogant man. I despise an arrogant man. There are certain stereotypes about certain ethnicities, and it is true. You can say what you want to those Arabs there in Iraq, Iran, in Palestine. They will blow themselves up for a cause. You can say what you want to the Negro, the color, the black, the Hebrew, whatever they want to classify themselves as. In America, they were robbed, they were killed, they were stealed. You can say what you want to about the white boys. They're arrogant, they're full of pride, they're selfish, and they're devilish as hell. Nobody wants to deal with it. But this man of yours not afraid of any white boy or any colored boy either. Toda, sister, Dorka, Toda. Told her for that. The pride of the white man doesn't want to deal with it. The arrogance and the pride of people of color don't want to deal with it. I deal with it. Hallelujah. I like everything, for I know because Yah loves me. Why? Because everything that He allows me to experience works for my time, my good. And only a good tree can bring forth good fruit. A good tree, a good man, he out of his limb, they're good fruit. You can eat the fruit. You can eat what he says. When a man talks so much, it even troubles you. That's not a good fruit. That's an evil thing. That's evil. A wise man, when he says something, he knows that it's such a dainty. He knows it's such a delicacy that you just say, wow, wow, that is profound. As Brother Pat says all the time, the profound. It is so profound. But a fool just talks and talks. And talks until they become foolish. And their words are foolish. And there's nothing there but death. And it causes you to want to reject them and move away from them. You never heard of a wife just talking so much, antagonizing the man? A man just running his mouth so much, his wife would say, I would be so glad when you shut your mouth. Hallelujah. Just be quiet. In the midst of the shalom, the rest of quiet is that shalom. You find someone that talks all the time. There's something twisted. In their spiritual growth and in their natural mind. And that is the truth. Did HaMashiach talk all the time? He did not. Shaul didn't talk all the time. Are they good men? He says, every good tree bring forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree can bring forth no fruit. Their fruit is evil, and they do bring forth fruit. Matthew 12:34. Turn that quickly and tell me whether that is you that have the red edition, red letter edition. Tell me what is that written in. You sure, Brother Yosef? It's written in love, red. Matthew 12:34. Can I read that? It says, O generation of vipers. This is a generation of vipers. One that with the poison of an asp. When a man talks a lot, he has a poisonous asp sting. Because what he talks to you about, he'll talk against you with the same tongue. He said, you're a generation of vipers, of snakes. He said, how can you be an evil, speak of good things? How can you be an evil man that you're hubris? That your conversation is about what you and Yah speaks to you or what man you are. When HaMashiach spoke unto Shaul out of the Shemayim, the first thing he did was reprove him. And set him straight on the straight road that led him down to the city or the street called Straight. Yah speaks to a man, he always reproves him and repudiates him. He deals with the corrupted because who are we? We are not the pure that Yah can speak to us. That's why there must always be a veil. As it was with Moshe, as HaMashiach is that veil. He is a propitiation. He's a veil between us and Yah. And when Yah speaks to a man, he's going to speak by HaMashiach. And there's only one Malach that he's going to send. He's going to send Gabriel, the messenger that stand for Yisrael. And when Gabriel speaks, you will know that it is Gabriel or Michael speaking unto you. Those that fear Yahweh, the Malach, the Melachim, are encamped about them. And they minister unto them like they did to HaMashiach. Yah has not sent the Malachs to remove the power of the Ruah. He's meant that they are full of hell and the sottish, ignorant men. He has sent the power of His life in us. That's what He has sent. He said, I put that in man. Why? Because He loves man. I'm glad He loves me. That's why He corrects me, because He loves me. Hallelujah. Even when a fool is quiet, he seemed to be wise. It says, how can you being evil speak evil? How can you that are evil speak tough things? For out of the abundance of the land, the mouth speaks. Do we believe that? So whatever is in you, that's what you speak. If you got a twisted mind, you speak twisted. And if you have the witness of truth, somebody must agree with it. Even when Stephen spoke unto Israel, they knew he was telling the truth. That's why they stoned him. That's why they killed him. He says in verse 35, does it say a bad man or an evil man? It says what? Is this renewed covenant? He says what kind of a man? A what? A good man. Out of the good treasures of his lap bring forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. An evil man, he never brings anything that is of strength. That's why when these white boys come to me with their evil lies, to a good man, they will bring strength because they bring it out of a good treasure. And the words are words of strength. And they speak words of strength. And these Caucasian boys, when they come, they think that they're going to dominate. They're not going to dominate here. The Ruah of Yahweh rules in this house. For the Ruah of Yahweh, there's liberty. They're not, their judgments are damned. Their judgments are back upon their own heads. What you have come and saw wrong here, it's in you. It's upon you. I will not let you do it. I won't even let the ones of color come here and do that. You have not labored here long enough. You have not suffered with the tears and the agony here. How can you speak? How can you come here and tell us that? There's one thing about an evangelist, a man that speaks, a man that comes from a far place, he will always bring you the tough news or the tough tidings of Almighty Yah. There's one thing about an evangelist, he's not set to actually set things in order. He's set to strengthen them in the word of Almighty Yah, that their hearts will be uplifted. And he set those shepherds in order that he may take that same rod that the evangelist brings and correct the house with it. So you don't know. This is like the pastor there, Pastor Robinson. He said to me when he first asked me to speak, I don't know, he spoke to some of the parishioners or the elders there. And he said, I spoke out of line, Pastor Roberts. He said, let me explain. He said, because there have been many that we've allowed to come here. And they come and they sow discord and they sow distraction. And they bring about a divide. He said, and I'm sorry. I was sorry, or I spoke too quick to ask you to speak. Well, when I wrote him the letter back, I said, my pastor, I understand. And the letter, I need to read it to you, what I explained to him. So he writes me back and says, will you speak that Friday for us? Certainly. Whether I speak or not, it makes no difference. I want to simply strengthen the man's hand. I want him to see the viability of the fruit of Yah when we go down there. I'm not concerned about speaking. I'll sit down and listen. Hallelujah. And so I know the corruption of the spirit of this age. See, a tough man, he comes and he looks and he says, I know what needs to be done. But an evil man, he brings about this corrupt judgment. His life doesn't even represent what he thinks he is. How are you going to come and tell me when your life is not one that is overbearing with the fruit of Yah? You come to me, you got something in your life, I want to eat that. Don't bring that damnable white boy trash to me. Don't bring that vile thing to me, because I will not eat out of it. I will not receive it. I won't. Hallelujah. And all you white boys, you get upset. Makes no difference. Get upset. It shows you what you are. You're wicked. True man of Yah, true Israelite will say, damn all white folks. And all the ones of color too. Sure. I'm not fearful of what I say. An evil man, he brings forth evil things. And a good man. Well, there's only one witness. I want to show you another witness in Lucas 6:45. Turn that quickly. Lucas 6:45. I'm going to finish my message today. He said, a good man out of the good treasures of his love bring forth that which is good. And an evil man out, listen now, out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the lab, the mouth speaks, doesn't it? Whatever is evil in you, your evil judgments, that's what you speak. But a man that has the Ruah and the righteous, the Sadiq spirit of Yah, even if he see his brother or sister fall, they will minister unto the fall. You understand? It's very easy for me to tell you your sins are abundant. But it's more important for me to tell you your sins are cleansed and they're washed. It's very vital for me to point out your sins. But it's also imperative of me to let you know that the dam of Hamashiach has covered your sins as well. They're equal. Hallelujah. And both bring strength. Correction brings strength. Hallelujah. You parents, don't you correct your children when you teach them how to walk. You're working with Lashariah. Stand up, Sherry. And the more she experienced that action, the more confidence she began to develop. And all of a sudden, she's all through the house, isn't she? I said to Sister Roberts, I hope she doesn't walk for 2 or 3 years. Just she stay like this. Her daddy wants her to walk. Mama, too. I just like the simplicity of little children, the beauty. I do. That's why Hamashiach said, one in the midst, unless you become as one of these little ones, you'll in no wise going to enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's my assurance. The little ones. Hallelujah. They assure my life. Luke says, chapter 23, verse 50. Now I want to find out whether this man was an evil man, a tough man, what kind of man he was. Luke, chapter 23, verse 50. It says, and behold, there was a man named Joseph. Does it say that in your text? He was a counselor. And he was an evil man. He was what? He was what? He was a good man. And not only was he a good man, but he was a Sadiq. He was a righteous man. Don't you understand what the enemy has done to the mind of this generation? They see good in nothing because their love is evil. That's why they can't see a good man. That's why a woman can't understand she got a good husband. That's why a man can't understand that she has a good wife. A man that finds a wife, he finds an evil thing. He finds what? He finds a tough thing, and he's blessed of you. But a woman is a wife, she's a good thing. Not a Jezebel. This damnable mentality of hell has corrupted this generation. That's why everything to them is evil. They can't see good in nothing. They don't see no good in no one. Because they're so seared, they're so damnable, corrupt. They're vile and evil. They are good men. I may not be one, but they are good men. You understand that? He said that Joseph was a good man. He was a good man. I will define what good is at the end. Because we really don't know. He was a good man and he was a Sadiq man. The same had not consented. Now, he did not give himself to the council and the deeds of them that destroyed or hung Hamashiach on that stake. He was of Amarathia, a city of Yehuda, who also himself waited for the kingdom of Yahweh. I wait for the fullness of that kingdom. That's why Hamashiach prayed, thy kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth. But scripture says he was a good man. And a good man will not consent with the counsel of evil men. He will not hear the counsel of the evil. He will not abide in the counsel of the wicked. But scripture says this man was a tough man. He was a good man. He did not consent with them when they came against Hamashiach. You will know when someone has the good Ruah or their good woman or man. They will not consent with your evil ways or your evil judgment that is not based upon a true Ruah of discernment. You will know that. It's based upon your attitude and your words and you have no power to discern. But scripture says he was a good man. I'm getting into the renewed covenant here, right? Scripture says he was a good man. A good tree brings forth a good man. He brings forth good things. An evil man, he cannot bring forth good things. But this man was a good man. This man went to Pilate and he begged for the body of Hamashiach. Now this shows the nature of a good man. He has this ability to humble himself. He bows down. An evil man, he has no humble nature about him at all. What Christendom has taught this wicked generation, that they all have the power to stand before Yah's people and instruct. They all do not. He gave gifts unto certain men. He empowered them. He did not empower every man to bring about the excellence of this truth unto the body of Israel. And there are many out there today that are twisted in their damnable thinking, their corrupt ways, their foulness, and they literally think they possess a gift. If they had a gift, the gift itself would show itself. You can't light a candle and put it on the bush when it's the true light of Israel. Men will gravitate to it. You don't have to talk. Men will know that it is a perfect light. Every word you say is so profound that men will be drawn unto that. That's the truth. He's a good man. He was a counselor. The counselor knows how he knows or she knows how to speak to one. Counseling is not always something that appeases you, is it? It's almost like a parrot correcting the child, and then they counsel them afterwards. That's what Yah does. He corrects us, and then He counsels us afterwards. He's not coming down from the Shemayim talking to you. He has given the gifts, the good gifts, unto men. He gives shepherds after His own love, and they feed you with knowledge and understanding. As the pastor Dan Filler, when he calls, he always puts his wife on the speaker. They love to hear the words that Yah speaks to them through this preacher. And he called me yesterday, and I had to call him back. And so when I was talking with him, his wife called. He said, "I'm talking to Pastor Robert." She said, tell Pastor Robert shalom. This is one thing he always says to me. And this man is 6'5", 300 pounds. Huge man. He's a pastor of an assembly then, Philly. He said, "Pastor Robert," she always told me this, "my wife and I," she says to me, "we need to go down there and sit under Pastor Roberts and learn so many things. When he says things that are not according to Scripture, I will say, hold up for a minute, let's go there." Not that he's ignorant. He's an educated man. His sister's a colonel in the army. His whole family is one of, you know, of education. That's the kind of people they are. But when he calls me, he will put me on the speakerphone, and they sit there and they will listen. And they hear what Yah says. He said, "Pastor Robert, I don't want to be." He said, this is what he said. He said, "It's so pleasing to have a brother that you don't have to sit down and have something argumentative and debating Scripture. I'm not going to let some coward dog come here and go try to tell me what Scripture says and I debate with him. That's why I don't deal with these morons that call, because what they want to do, they want to debate on some emotion. It's not upon what Scripture says. Scripture says there's none good. You don't know what Scripture says. I will show you what that means, all right? Please write these verses down. Challenge this preacher. I'm a warrior. I love to be challenged. I'm telling you. Challenge me. And show me where I'm wrong. Look at this in the book of Acts. Acts 11, verse 19. I'm going to read this. Acts 11, 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about in Sephania, Stephen, traveled to Phoenicia in Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Yadim only." Now that's all he spoke to. To those that said that they were Hebrews. And that's all I want to speak to, the Hebrews. He spoke to them. "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they were come to Antioch, spoke to the Grecians, proclaiming Yeshua HaMashiach. And the hand of Yahweh was upon them, and a great number believed and returned now to Yahweh, speaking unto those that had turned aside and backwards. And because they spoke unto the Yadim, many believed, and they returned to Yahweh. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the assembly which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas." Now they sent forth an excellent man. Listen now. They sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. "Who, when he came and had seen the favor. Does it say favor there? The favor of Yah? Does it say that a good man, he has favor of Yah? Does it say that? Did I read that in Tehillim? That a good man obtains favor, Mishlei 12:2? So these were good men. How do I know? Because they had favor. When he saw that they had favor, when he saw that they had favor of Yahweh, and was glad, Gilah, and exhorted them all. That's what he did. You see, when a man is a good man, when he has the strength of Yah, he will come to exalt. He will come and say, that's what these Caucasian boys, they don't come and do that. They will say, Pastor Roberts, see the Ruah of Yah. Continue the path. Keep on the way that is right. You want to come and tell me what I need to do? If they are more spiritual, I don't mind them being more spiritual because this judgment means nothing. But I will not allow them to do that. That's blind. Because they don't know the labor of Yahweh. They don't understand the strength of Yahweh. And exalted them with purpose of love that they would cleave unto Yahweh. Why? For he was what? He was what? He was what? He was a good man. Full of what? Good man is full of the Ruah of Yah. Full of the Ruah of Yah. He was full of the Ruah HaKadosh. And he was a man of what? Faith. And much people was what? They were what? They were at it, were they not? Because he was a good man. When Yahweh shows you favor, whom Yahweh has blessed, no man can curse. So the prophecy of people that have, I've watched them shake the dust off their feet. Thank you, Yah. I watched them speak words of condemnation. Yet Yahweh says, the house that I've established, because my good dwells there, there's fruit there. Oh, you don't see yourself because Yahweh shows you what you're not. And everything that you are not, he shows you because that's why he reveals unto you every kind of sin. This man was a good man. He was good. He was a good man. He esteemed the brothers. He showed them. He touched them. They were men that have favor of Almighty Yahweh. And a good man obtains, see, he draws the favor of Almighty Yah. When a man doesn't have the favor of Yah, he's not a good man. And you will know what about as the favor of Yah. He will be a man. His Ruah is quiet. You find what is vociferous and bodacious. He's not a man of Yah. He's a fool. That's what he is. Hallelujah. A wise man, he goes somewhere. He just observes. And he looks. Kitty may say, oh, I understand that now. Okay. Hallelujah. Even his presence creates a comfort. A wise woman, even her presence, her attitude, her Ruah creates a beauty. A wise wife around otherwise, a good wife, it creates that Ruah that others want to be that way too. That's the truth. But because what the enemy has done to our damnable little skinny minds, we listen to him more than we listen to Yah. We got more time for folly and frivolity. Brother said to me the other night, there's one thing I love about you, Pastor Roberts, you don't try to sugarcoat even the situations there. You deal with the reality, and there's so many that their messages are so curtailed. I will not curtail anything. I will speak the truth. I will not try to covet our sins. I will cause the blood of HaMashiach to be poured down to cleanse us and cover us with the Ahava of Yah in the midst. That's what I will do because he is our friend.